Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Spiritual Wellness and Physical Health with your hosts, Robin A. McKean and Lisa Ripple. This show focuses on helping you integrate your spiritual wellness, your physical body, and your emotional health. We talk about fueling your soul and inner self, as well as the right food to fuel your body.
And now, here's Robin and Lisa.
And good evening. It is Monday, March 7th, 2016, and this is physical wellness. This is spiritual wellness, physical health. And I am your host, Robin McKean. And as it says in the promo, normally I would have my co-host Lisa Ripple with us, but a few months ago she had knee surgery and she's been recuperating, and we're not really sure, when she's going to be returning. And in the meantime, since I'm already on the air two other nights with Terry, I just thought, you know what, until Lee's ready to come back, we'll put the show on hiatus. And we will be having Hercules Invictus, starting with his wife on Monday nights, Athena Victory. And the two of them are going to be on Monday night, so look for their show. It's going to be a lot of fun. They're both great speakers. And they're really knowledgeable and a lot of fun. And his thing's going to be the Olympians, the Greco-Roman pantheon, information about Atlantis. He talks about gaming. He's got deep spiritual issues, community issues. He's just a really great guy. I've known him for several years. And I'm really looking forward to having him on the air. So when you tune into this time slot at 9 next week, I believe it will be Hercules and Athena here. So I'm looking forward to listening to that myself. I do believe that Terry is going to be one of their first guests. I don't know if it'll be next Monday or when exactly, but talking about modern-day mythos and archetypes and how that translates to modern-day myths. Last show tonight, and I'm doing it by myself. And Nip,
no,
are you there?
No, you're not by yourself.
Oh,
I'm
okay,
here.
Good, you're there.
You're not by yourself.
Oh, awesome, thanks.
No,
hi,
no,
Nip.
No.
Thanks for joining me.
Hi, Robin, how are you? Sure.
Good. It was real quiet out there. I didn't even hear you breathing. That was pretty good.
Yay.
Yeah. And Niv, for any of you who don't know, Niv is our sort of our station booking agent, assistant manager, and jack of all trades. She keeps Terry and I in line and makes sure we are where we're supposed to be, when we're supposed to be there, and she makes sure that we have our guests all lined up and properly educated before they come on the air with us. And gets all the paperwork in and the music downloaded. She's awesome.
And no,
not just
I don't
my
want
show,
to show my own.
Yeah, right. I was going to say, not just for my show.
No, I don't want one. Thank you.
On the station.
Yeah, for you and Terry, I do that for you. And if anybody else needed something or whatever, I don't mind pitching in and helping out. That's not a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we appreciate that. You've been a great addition to the radio station, and I'm actually really pleased and proud of you. So. But anyway, so tonight is the last show. And, I wish we had the capabilities to go back and play bits and tidbits of some of the best shows that we've had. But we don't, that's not the way podcasts apparently work. So what I can do is I can highlight some of those shows myself, and you can go back and listen to them in the archives. I think probably the show with Ivo Dominguez is one of my favorites. Where we interviewed Ivo.
That was a good one.
Yeah, and another of my favorites is the shows, any of the shows where I interviewed Owl or Jackie Sutton, however you know her. She's always got interesting things to say. And then there's the show, I think my very first show, I interviewed Millie Knox, who's a mutual friend as well. She was very interesting as well, and just a lot of people that I've talked to over my time here, and people
okay,
that
we
have... Lisa and I.
Go ahead.
People that Lisa and I really enjoyed talking to, and then some of the best shows were just me and Lee, because it was like hanging out with two friends, which is exactly what we are, is just hanging out with the girls. What were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say, there was a lot of known authors that you spoke with, and a lot of good tips. Ed Fitch, I was just looking at that one, pre-recorded back in June, I believe. There's quite a few of them in there. People don't realize how difficult it is to pull someone in so you can pick their brain. And you and Lisa both have the ability to make a person feel better about themselves. And I'm not saying it's because you woo and praise me. I'm saying it because you both have that ability. You also have the ability to listen to that person and to pull out that specific information. When we talk about things, we don't realize that we are looking for key words in conversation, and the both of you have that ability. And I'm just like, awesome, she found that word, that's the one. And you can pull that out.
Lisa and I, we're both just really good at talking. That's really the bottom line.
I help too.
Especially... Lee is funny. Lee is way funnier than I am. She can take any situation and turn it into a joke, no matter what it is, and be funny and not be cruel and just make you laugh. She just has a really great sense of humor. One of the things about this show, and I know she never thought that she made any kind of real important contribution to the show. She always felt like, she was my Ed McMahon, and all she did was, play the song and comment occasionally. And if you asked her, that's what she would tell you. But meanwhile, from my perspective, it was always she was my person who always held me up. If I didn't have something to say, or I couldn't think of something to say quickly enough, she'd jump in with a joke. She'd lighten the mood. She'd have a good question. She was just always. Johnny on the spot right there with something important to say or something funny. Just in general, she's just really amazing at what she does, and she's never really quite understood that over the years. Even with other things that she does, she always downplays her contribution, and she works harder at things than most people I know work at anything. She know, if she's going to be a part of an event, you know, we would do event planning for the Beltanes we did or the Woven Roots events that we've done. She's always the go-to person who, if something can't get done, she'll get it done. Doesn't matter what it is. So she's just really been a great friend all these years, and she's doing well. She just is tired. She's just really, really tired, and to be awake at this time of night sometimes is just too much for her. I know how she feels because I've just asked Terry to move
You're
us from 10 o'clock to 9 o'clock because I have to get up at 5:30 in the morning now to go to work. So I need to be in bed before midnight. So she will, I think, come back at some point in the future. That's my hope. But in the meantime, you know, doing these shows week in, week out, and then also doing shows Tuesday and Thursday nights with Terry, it's a little bit much.
It is.
So,
and it's
yeah,
a lot.
So
it truly is.
Yeah. Yeah, especially, you know, I've got my daughter at home and I'm working full time now. And, you know, like tonight I came in from work. I got home about 5:45. And, you know, we talk about this on the show. We actually did a show about this, how to balance work and life and family and, you know, everything as a single mom. But, you know, I walk in about 5:45 and it's figure out what I'm going to cook for dinner, make some dinner, make lunches for tomorrow, look at homework, make sure her homework is well done, is good, and she understands it. You know, try to actually talk to her. Get some laundry done.
Instead of
get up,
it's time to go. Yeah.
yeah. Move laundry, do some dishes from dinner, and it's time to go to bed.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like I don't sit down all day. And I put her to bed, and then you call me at 8:45 and wake me up and say, "Come on, we got to do the show." So.
Yeah.
Well, it's.
Well,
you know,
I just have to
it's
say
that you call me because if you don't, I would sleep.
Then I'd be stuck on the radio. I'm hanging out for Robin because, you know.
That's it.
I've never done that before. I've never been put in that position before. But if I had to, I would.
I know.
You know.
But, yeah, it's a long day, you know, up at 5:30. I work till 4:30. I have about a 45-minute drive home. You know, you throw in some traffic and getting gas and, you know, it turns into an hour. And so... It's a long day.
It is a long day. Yeah. You know, and people think, you know, we're just these, you know, queens hanging out, not do anything but hang out on Facebook. Actually, you've been good.
Yeah.
You haven't been posting from work. Good for you.
Yeah, well,
I'm not
allowed to do much from work. The place I work, I really love my new job, I have to say. It's awesome. I love the people I work with. But they have a few very important rules. And one of those rules is don't be on your phone. There have been people in the company who have been warned a few times about, you know, having their phone out too much or being on their phone too much, and they actually fired them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a company
wow.
policy. You know, and then there, you know, my boss, the very first day I started, he gave me a list of what his expectations were. And one of them was don't be stupid. and he said this covers stuff like, you know, you being on your phone too much or trying to access Facebook or other, you know, sites that you shouldn't be on through the work computer, because, you know, Big Brother is watching. They watch everything you do on the computer, and, you know, if you try to go somewhere that you're not supposed to go, you'll get a message that says you can't go to that website. And
if it becomes
an issue, I had been trying to look up a thing, Robert's rules for taking notes for minutes for a meeting, and I tried to go out to the website on the internet, and this was for work, you know, for our safety meetings, because they were keeping notes, but they weren't really as good as they should have been, you know. So I wanted to give them a template, an example of how you're supposed to keep, you know, minutes to a meeting.
Minutes, right.
Right, and I wasn't allowed by my corporate network to go out to the website. How do you like that?
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, so
you had to go out in the parking lot on your phone.
Well, what I did was, I mean, I have the book at home, so I just going to bring the book in and type the template out of the book. But it would have been a lot easier if I could have downloaded a template, you know. So,
yeah.
So, but this is how strict they are about certain things, you know, and other stuff. Like if you take money out of petty cash, you better, you know, write a receipt for it or an IOU or something. You better not just take the money and tell somebody. He said people get fired for this sort of stuff. He said, you know,
sure,
you tell somebody, hey, I borrowed $5 out of petty cash. You know, I'm broke and I needed to get a sandwich or a piece of pizza or something. And you forget about it. And then like 3 weeks later, so-and-so says, hey, you know, there's $5 missing. And now it doesn't look
no
so
account.
Good. Yeah,
right.
No accounting for it. So it's just one of those things. You know, like I said, my boss with his expectations, don't be stupid.
Right.
So I like the job.
Jobs have that. They have to have those restrictions on employees,
mm-hmm.
because otherwise you're going to have people that are going to take advantage of it.
Absolutely. It's a very difficult thing.
And people do. They don't
mm-hmm.
think it's a big deal, but
mm-hmm.
it is a big deal. It truly is.
Yeah. At a job that I used to work at a long, long time ago, there was a woman who really felt that if she needed paper for her printer or an ink cartridge for her printer or she needed, paper clips or something at home, then it was okay to just take them out of her desk at work or out of the supply closet at work and take it home. And she felt like, well, you know, they don't pay me enough, so it's okay if I take a skein of paper home for my printer. After all, every once in a while I print stuff from home for work. Well, you know.
Yeah, people do stupid stuff.
Yeah. It was stupid, you know, and it's just bad karma. I mean, if you really feel like, you know, the work owes you some paper for at home, say something to your boss, ask him, say, hey, you know, I printed out a bunch of stuff, you know, for work at home. Do you mind if I take, you know, a handful of paper home? You know what? He's probably not going to say
right.
no. And if he does say no, then, you know, next time don't print it out at home. Wait until you get to work.
That's right.
That's all I can say. So.
Yeah.
But in general,
yep.
you know, I think that integrity and honesty in the workplace are so vital, not only to creating a good working atmosphere amongst everybody who works there, because you really don't want to have to worry about, you know, somebody's going to go in your desk and go in your purse when you're not at your desk.
Right.
But also from a integrity standpoint for your as an individual. It's a lot nicer to go somewhere where you work, where you know that you're expected to be, you know, have integrity, and you're expected to own up to things. And I'll be honest with you, everybody makes mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. It just happens at work.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody does the occasional, you know, brain dead thing. And it's just so much nicer to work in a place where if somebody says, hey, you know, I made this mistake, that other people don't condemn them and blame them and treat them crappily for it. Instead, they say, hey, you know, okay, well, let's teach you how to fix that. And this is how you, next time when you're going to do this, this is how you'll do it.
Right.
It's just, you know, a whole lot easier and a lot less stressful. So I am really enjoying my job. My boss is wonderful. Tomorrow I'm actually getting a tour of our reservoir and water treatment plant. So that should be interesting. I'm looking forward to that. It's also supposed to be really nice tomorrow. It's going to be like 70 degrees here, which is almost unheard of.
It was nice here today, too. Yeah. It was nice like that today, too. It was like I was telling Perry when I called her,
mm-hmm.
oh, it was beautiful today. I'm like, no kidding. But, of course, I was feeling yuck and really didn't make it out maybe twice today. But other than that,
mm-hmm.
you know, I had the windows open. Tied dogs out, you know, be free cheesy bread. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Unbelievably early for this.
Yeah.
So
we're
going to take it. So enjoy your tour. Take
yeah.
the pictures.
Oh, it's going to be beautiful tomorrow. Yeah. I'm sure it's going to be beautiful tomorrow. I'm looking forward to it. I'm just hoping my boss, he plays hockey on a regular basis. So so he's in really good shape, and I'm afraid he's going to be like walking on ahead of me, losing me, you know, because I'm just not in the best shape of my life at the moment.
Yeah, we all have on that quote unquote non-work belly still going.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I finally got on the scale the other day and realized I had been saying, oh, you know, I put on 30 pounds. Well, it's more than 30 pounds. So guess who's on a strict diet now? I'm giving up.
Are you on my diet now?
No. I'm giving up all dairy. I'm giving up all refined white carbs, you know, white bread, white rice,
yep.
white potatoes, and giving up
yep.
refined sugar. No sugar.
Well, I
so,
gave that up 2 years ago. So
I gave it. I've given it up
really,
twice before, and it's just so difficult to keep sugar out of your diet. That
it really is.
I mean, and it's in that stuff like salad dressing. You know, you go to ketchup, salad dressing.
Yep.
It's in everything.
It's even in Worcestershire sauce.
Yes.
Worcestershire
yeah.
sauce.
Worcestershire.
You know, and soy. It's soy
Absolutely.
Sauce that you put on your
mm-hmm.
freshly
mm-hmm.
stir-fried veggies. Everything
mm-hmm.
has sugar in it. And then
Absolutely.
They wonder why the United States has got type 2 explosion going on. And it's
uh-huh.
typically because of the dang. It's not
yeah.
because of the sugar. I think it's because it's the overload of sugar. And our
mm-hmm.
pancreas
yeah.
just can't keep
up with it. It's in everything we eat. It's in everything
yeah.
we eat. If it's in a bottle or a can or a box, it's got sugar in it of some sort. It's either got fructose or it's got corn syrup or it's got, you know, sucralose or it's got all of the above. I mean, it just everything
right.
has sugar of some sort in it. There are no good refined sugars for you. If you must have sugar, and I've talked about this before on the show, but if you must absolutely have sugar, try to use honey. Try to use coconut
right.
sugar. Try to use stevia, the green plant, not that white processed stuff, that Truvia. Don't use that. Get the green powdered plant. Go to the health food store and buy it, and it's green. And, yeah, it might float on top of your tea, but it will sweeten it just as well. Also, be aware that Truvia stuff that it says that it's a natural stevia sweetener, if you look at the side of the box, it has – I believe, equal in it. It has an artificial sweetener in it
yep.
with the stevia. So you have to be very careful.
Which is redundant.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
It's redundant,
redundant,
unnecessary, and it's just another way for them to sneak those chemicals into your diet when you were least expecting it. But, you know, the bottom line is that, you know, honey. I mean, honey is just really agave, the dark amber agave, but you have to really be careful with agave because you'll get a lot of agave that on the front of the bottle says it's agave, but in the bottle is actually dark corn syrup.
I checked that because I can't have the sugars any longer because
mm-hmm.
my body doesn't
yeah.
process it correctly. So
mm-hmm.
I used to not carry my reading glasses to the grocery store. Guess who does now?
yeah.
I have to.
Yeah, well, you have to.
You know, no choice in the matter.
You have to be especially careful with the agave because if it's real cactus agave, it is a slow-acting sugar. It, you know, it's not doesn't give you that insulin spike. But
right.
if it's got corn syrup in it, you're going to get a serious insulin spike from it. And
right.
Yeah, it's just not good. So
no,
and it's very
it's
difficult.
Not,
that's why I tell people try to stick to honey or you know the green powdered stevia that you buy at the health food store or coconut.
And
I've
tried the green stuff. The green stuff's actually pretty good. Surprised.
Yeah,
I mean, so what it floats. And how
yeah.
I do it when I go to make my tea, because I like sweetened tea, not necessarily sweet
mm-hmm.
tea, but sweetened to mm-hmm. take the bitter out.
Yeah.
I brew it with my tea at the same time, and it doesn't, you know, and if your guests say something, pour it through a strainer before they get it, because it doesn't, you know, it releases it, and that's all you need.
Yeah. Yeah.
So a couple of my guests have had it and have never said, what is this stuff, you know? They know it's
right.
different, but it's not so
mm-hmm.
it's not artificial flavored at all.
Right.
You know, right. So when I told them, they went, oh, this is awesome. Really? You can buy that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can buy that.
Mm-hmm.
I have used it, and I'm a firm believer, you know, if you can keep those natural products in your body, because your body's mm-hmm. not used to all these chemicals, even though we've had them all of our quote-unquote lives, mm-hmm. especially once we went, left Mama's house and started making our own macaroni and cheese. Don't look at that box, because it definitely doesn't have what you think it has in it.
It's not macaroni and cheese. It stopped being macaroni and cheese like somewhere around 1958. It is now some kind of chemically induced cheese powder with some pasta that's made to last on the shelf for about 400 years.
And some colorant. But I do know that Kraft, just this past summer, or not even that far back, this past fall, mm-hmm. has announced that they are taking out all artificial flavors and all artificial colors.
In this country, we are ingesting so much in the way of artificial coloring and chemicals
right.
in our foods that it's no wonder we're all dying of cancer and autoimmune diseases and all kinds of weird things. We just haven't seen the light yet. And it's not like people wander around saying it's one thing. And it's not so much just genetically modified foods or just the food colorings that are considered carcinogenic that aren't used in other countries, but we use them here because the FDA they don't really care.
So it must be good, right?
Yeah. I mean, the FDA in this country is just completely has been watered down by corporate America. And, I mean, Monsanto's ex-CEO is the head of the FDA in this country. It's kind of crazy. That's like putting the drug addict in charge of a pharmacy. It's just not the best idea.
Not the best choices here.
Yeah. And that's been going on for years and years and years. It's not that just this administration. This goes back, for as long as Monsanto's probably been around. They have, Clarence Thomas on the Supreme Court. Supreme Court was a Monsanto accountant and executive. And it just goes. The list just goes on and on and on with all the people
Hillary
who have been
Clinton
appointed
is involved
from Monsanto.
Hillary Clinton's part of. Was part of Monsanto, so
really
need to pay attention.
her campaign manager is an ex-Monsanto CEO or publicist or something. He used to work for Monsanto as an executive, and it's frightening how linked into the political machine, company like that is, and this is the same company that created Agent Orange during Vietnam and. All these other horrible chemicals. And meanwhile,
right.
they are making our food, which is scary. So,
I'll be glad when it's garden season because we are so against it here.
Mm-hmm.
Not just because of my disorder, but it just tastes better.
Absolutely.
I can go outside and pluck a tomato off the vine and
uh-huh.
I mean, I don't even have to add salt to it. They're just so good.
Mm-hmm.
The juice runs mm-hmm. down your face. It's just awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Our own beasts that we raise, we don't give them anything but vitamins.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they get corn that we grow, that we have a good source of. It does not come from other unidentified companies.
Mm-hmm.
And we know for a fact it's not GMO modified.
Mm-hmm.
So our beef that we eat and ingest weekly, of course, I have been told to stay off of that, too, because of the purine levels, but okay. But,
mm-hmm.
Everything you have to take in consideration what you're eating and how much of it you eat.
Right.
And if you're going to get something healthy to eat, don't, overload yourself you know, and I'm saying this from experience, don't do it because all that's going to do is scare your body going, oh, my God, what are you doing to me? And it doesn't know how to react to all this, quote-unquote, good food. You have to create a balance.
Right. Well, you have to wean yourself off of the junk food and onto the healthier food. You can't – it's everything is baby steps. You know,
right.
It's kind of like I used to get this all the time. I'd get a client and I'd say, okay, well, this is what we're going to do. And I'm going to give you, you know, on your plate at every meal, I want you to have a raw vegetable and I want you to have your plate be, you know, 2/3 vegetables and 1/3 protein. And we're only going to have a carbohydrate once a day. And you can choose whether you're going to have that at breakfast or whether you're going to have it for your snack or when you're going to have it, but we're going to limit your carbohydrates. So,
where were you when I needed you last week? Oh, God. When you hear from your doctor, you just look at her and go, oh, my God, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Excuse me.
So inevitably, I'd have people call me up.
I mean, that's how it came out. It's scary. It truly is,
mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
Because I've restricted all those things off of my own diet anyways. And then she says,
mm-hmm.
And now you have to have more vegetables, which – if I eat any more vegetables, I'm not going to have room for anything else, which is fine because I don't like store-bought chicken either because
mm-hmm.
you don't know what's been shot up in them either. Most
mm-hmm.
likely hormones for growth purposes, but still, I don't
mm-hmm.
need those. I'm not
yeah.
growing anything, but maybe, you know, more white
mm-hmm.
hair, but
mm-hmm.
I don't need that. So I go, you know, two doors over and go to my egg lady and go, how many chickens you got to go?
mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm learning. I'm staying away from as much as I can.
Yeah.
The only thing is I can do that. My husband can't because of the type of work he does.
Mm-hmm.
He needs those carbs where I don't need any.
Yeah.
So now I'm trying to
you being a diabetic
move him slowly.
That's a no-no. Yeah. But the whole grains
yeah.
are not as bad as the refined grains if you're a diabetic. They take longer to process in the body, so you don't get that big insulin rush. But anyway.
Oh, I get an insulin rush on everything.
yeah. But
we're a little
unbalanced
right now.
Inevitably I get clients who would complain to me, oh, you know, I had the runs and this food's not agreeing with me and I can't eat this. Every time I eat, I have to run to the bathroom. And I'd be like, well, I told you to put raw vegetable on your plate, but
yeah.
but how much raw vegetable are you eating? And are you, well, yeah, I'm having, you know, raw cabbage and, you know, raw spinach. Well,
bloating.
Okay. Yeah. Why don't we try doing one or the other of those with, say, a cucumber or some celery or a carrot?
Right.
Now, all those other things have fiber, too, but they're not quite as going to run through you as something like cabbage and spinach and, you know, certain things are have more of a propensity to do that. And you want
right.
to eat things that will put fluids back in your body, like cucumbers and carrots and celery. Celery, let me tell you something about celery.
Oh, man,
while
that's
we're talking
a miracle.
About celery,
I love
it is.
Celery.
Celery is so good for you. No matter what is wrong with you, if you think you have a systemic bladder infection or any kind of infection going on in your body, celery is a blood purgative. It will clean all the gook out of your blood. So if you, you know, or if you have kidney stones or you have gallstones, the purines, those things that we that build up in the blood, the little crystals that create those stones,
mm-hmm.
celery helps to move those out of the body. There are so many good things about celery, and just the fact that it's a great way to it's a great vegetable also to use instead of bread. You want to have
a
chicken salad sandwich or a tuna salad, put it in the celery instead, or wrap it in lettuce. But celery is so easy to transport. You know, it keep forever in the refrigerator if you treat it right. Cut the bottoms off the celery. You know, cut the stalk, the bottom of the stalk off the celery. Get a really tall container, like an old flower vase or whatever, that'll fit in the door of your refrigerator. Fill the bottom with about an inch to an inch and a half with water. stand all the cut ends of the celery in the water, change that water every couple of days, and the celery will never go bad on you. It'll last for weeks in your fridge.
Right.
But if you leave it in the bag that you bought it in the bottom of the refrigerator in that drawer where no one will see it, it'll just turn to mush after about a week,
yeah.
And you're done, you know?
Yeah.
So
and you're just chucking away money.
Yes, exactly. And that's the other big complaint I hear from people is, you know, I buy all these vegetables, I don't know what to do with them, and they just go bad in my refrigerator and I wind up throwing them out. Well, first of all, stop putting all the stuff that you want to be eating in those drawers in the bottom of your refrigerator. Put them on the high shelves, the ones that you look at all the time, where you usually keep stuff like yogurt or, you know, quick stuff to eat. Why do we hide the fruit and the vegetables in our refrigerators? Because somebody somewhere along the line decided that those drawers had to be crisper drawers. Well, I got news for you. The entire refrigerator is a large crisper.
It's a crisper.
You don't need those drawers.
The only really truly one that we use is the top one because it has the glass, very clear glass,
yeah.
And that where I can see the lunch meat and the cheeses and all that because I've already resorted all that out anyway. That bottom one, I think, I don't know where the bottom one really developed from. It's too bad they didn't figure it out. You know, I almost think that the quote-unquote crispers should be at the top with the window that you can look in.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, I think the reason they did that is basically because there's this odd space in the bottom of every refrigerator, and they didn't know what to do with it. So they thought, well, we'll just stick a couple of drawers down there. honestly,
and you lose
honestly.
If you don't really pay attention because, like you said, celery, the salad, or quote-unquote, and let me get on my heart thing. The one thing I hate in the whole wide world to see in anyone's quote-unquote crisper is pre-made salad.
Oh, yeah, don't ever buy those pre-made salads in a bag.
No, you're looking at salmonella. You're looking at it will go bad in 24 hours.
Salmonella.
Yeah, all
absolutely.
That.
Those salads that are in a bag, I want everyone to... Yep, those salads that come already, you know, chopped up and put in a bag, let's think about this, okay? Somebody somewhere is working in a plant, and it's their job to run all the stuff through a machine to shred it up that way. The salad has now been through some machine that 100 other gallons of lettuce and salad have also been through in that day. Hopefully somebody cleaned them in between. And now they're being put in this.
But I don't think they did.
Yeah, probably not. This non-breathable cellophane bag, they put it in a refrigerator, they put it on a truck. By the time it gets to your supermarket, it's probably been in that bag for almost a week. And now it's going to sit on the shelf in your fridge in your fridge for a couple of days. So it's been in that bag for over a week, and now it's going to start
with
to
no
get
air.
You know, yeah, no air, and it's going to start to get mushy. It's disgusting.
It doesn't take long.
No,
it takes less than 24 hours for it to go bad in your refrigerator, even though you just bought it. Say Saturday, today's Monday. You're ready to make you a salad for work. And it's
done. Yeah. One of the best things I have instituted here in the house, and I do this when I'm trying to eat, you know, at my best, is I went out and I got myself one of those vegetable Tupperware keeper things. And I cut up red pepper and cucumber and cauliflower and broccoli and whatever else I have in the fridge that I feel like mushrooms, whatever else I like. And there's usually six or eight compartments. I actually have two of them. One has six and one has eight. And then there's a center well as well. It's like meant for crudité, you know. But it's got a lid that goes on it. So I cut all that stuff up when I bring it home from the supermarket. I put it in there, and I keep it in the refrigerator. So when the kids open the refrigerator and go, what's to eat? I go, oh, take out that plastic thing. They rip it off. They see all the cucumbers and the carrots and the lettuce and whatever else they want to eat.
That's all they think, finger food. Yeah, I can grab that and run out the back door. Yeah.
Exactly.
Or go sit down on the couch and eat a carrot.
Yep, and better that the
I'll have to see. I should go over to your house and see what I know. I saw it, but I can't remember exactly what it was, what it looked like. The only one that I have here is a spinner. You know,
where
you put all your stuff in there and you spin it with the running water. I have a problem with that because you're introducing more water into lettuce, which is already 99.9% water.
Well,
even though you spun it and dried it, it still has that watery taste.
Well,
so
when
I'll have to look at that.
Years ago, I worked in a country club in the kitchen. And part of my job was to clean the spinach. And this was a five-star establishment. Okay, this was, you know, you went there for, you know, the best food in at the country club. And what they did and what the chef explained to me back then was, and so I was a teenager, so this is going back a ways. When you get lettuce in, you have to wash it for many reasons, but the main reason is cleanliness. Lettuce grows close to the ground. And there's often... Even today, there is often still sand and dirt and bacteria in the lettuce. So you have to wash it for that reason. That's number one. Number two, the way to wash lettuce is you take the stem out. You know, you bang the lettuce on the counter and it breaks the stem, and then you can just pull it out. And then you open it up like a flower, and then you let water run on it. You put it in a bowl. You let water run on it and let the lettuce sit in a bowl full of water for just about 5 or 10 minutes. Not too long, because you don't want it to absorb so much water.
Does it need to be salted?
No.
Does it need to be salted?
It does not need to be salted. And then what you do is then you take the lettuce out of the bowl and you turn it over in your dish drain and you leave it there for half an hour.
And let all the water run out of it.
Let all the water run out and you don't have to spin it. You don't have to blot it with paper towels or do any of that. And then what you do is you break it up and you make a salad. And I have discovered, and I hate to, and Lee was the one who turned me on to this, but and I hate to give a brand name, you know, that's people should buy, but there's this stuff that Lisa bought me. It's called Temptations, and it's stoneware. And they have they have these oblong oval dishes that are of a nice size that have a stoneware lid that fits on them. I am telling you, this is the best way to keep lettuce in your refrigerator. Break it up like you want to make a salad with it, then put it in one of these stoneware things, put the lid on, stick it in the fridge. Lettuce will last about 2 weeks and be crisp and fresh in one of these. I don't know why. I don't know if it's the stoneware acts like a little extra refrigeration or what the deal is, but if I put it in plastic, 3 days, 4 days, it's gone, done. If I leave it, you know, just out in the air, it'll dry out. But if you put it in this, if you break it up like you're going to make salad, tear it up, the whole head, and then just put it in one of these stoneware things, it lasts. I mean, a week, and you take the lid off, and you're like, oh, this is like I made it today. It's great. I can't explain it. It's the same stuff that, remember, I don't know if when we were here, we had our hand fasting in June, and I put the rest of the stoneware cake saver she got me, and I forgot about it, and it was in the back of the fridge, and I was like, oh, God, this cake's going to be disgusting. It was like 3 weeks later, and I opened it up, and it was like perfect. There was nothing wrong with it. There was no mold. It was still fresh. It hadn't gone stale. The buttercream was still fresh. And we're all looking at each other. Do you think it's safe to eat it?
Ooh, it's cake.
It's cake.
Please, let me have that cake.
we tried it. It was fine. We ate it. So
awesome.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here looking at the cake saver. So I may have to call up Lisa and go, Lisa, these are my colors. Can you get me one or two things?
Yeah.
Ship it to my house, not to Robin.
I can recommend this Temptation stoneware that they sell on QVC. I am not a QVC maven. I would never, ever, ever have gone out there and bought anything for myself because I just don't watch QVC. But I can honestly say this is some of the best stuff I've ever owned. And I tell Lisa every time I talk to her, you know, oh, my God, I put this in it, and it lasted forever, and it's just so wonderful. And she's always like, I know, this stuff is awesome. So, so much for the temptation commercial. But what time is it?
Okay,
are we ready for a... Oh,
it
wow,
is
9:45.
About 9:45.
Yeah, we blew right past the half on the hour.
Let me just say
that it's been a great pleasure doing this show, and I look forward to coming back and talking about all this stuff that is near and dear to my heart. My daughter, I just read an article. That was one of the other things I wanted to talk about. I just read an article this week that they are working on a vaccine to cure Crohn's disease. That there's this guy in Scotland, this doctor in Scotland, who has isolated the MAP bacteria, and it's a bacteria that lives in milk and in beef that is related to tuberculosis, believe it or not.
Right.
That they're finding in the cow's milk in Scotland. Scotland apparently has more people per capita with Crohn's disease than any other country. So that's why it's a big deal over there.
That's why they need to introduce different cows over there.
Well, I don't know.
That's one
of
the reasons.
I don't know, but
yeah,
it could be. But the apparently this MAP bacteria, and it's MAP, and it's abbreviations for myso something 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 bacteria, is surviving the pasteurization process. And they were unaware that it was surviving the pasteurization process basically until very recently. And now they are looking at it. Some people are genetically susceptible to this bacteria, and it basically causes Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis as well. So they're trying to figure out, and it's been found in very high concentrations in baby formula. Another reason not
to eat
your baby formula. This bacteria has been found in the baby formula. So, and this is a medical study. This isn't just some guy on the internet who wrote an article. Okay.
Look up MAP bacteria if you want some additional information. And that MAP stands for Mycobacterium avium tuberculosis. That's the word.
And like they said, it's kind of related to tuberculosis, and it's very much like that tuberculosis in that people who are exposed, some people won't get it, but they'll carry it, but they won't get it. So you can not get it yourself,
they'll be the carrier.
And have a child, and your child might have it because they've been exposed to it through being in your body.
Go ahead. I just wanted to let you know this particular MAP virus or bacteria is also related to leprosy.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well, tuberculosis.
That's really scary. We don't want that to come back.
Yeah. Exactly.
Don't want that to come back. So I've been watching this Crohn's vaccine. They posted it out. Even on our local news, I have seen it a few times on CNN because I watch CNN a lot. So they're really excited about what his studies are going to bring to them, and his results should be coming pretty soon.
Yeah, well, I'm excited about it because my daughter may have Crohn's disease because her father died of Crohn's disease, and her half sister has it already. She's in her 20s.
Wow.
She was diagnosed a few years ago. And Persephone occasionally, you know, complains about her tummy hurting. And, you know, she occasionally does this thing where she gets a mild fever and sleeps. She'll go to sleep at like 6 o'clock and sleep till the next day at 6. And those are all things.
And she's awfully young to be doing that. Awfully
young.
I remember my teen years doing that, but not that age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, she's been doing
that
since she was little.
Hey, let's break for a quickie. Let's do a quickie break and get a stretch a little bit. And after we play this song, we'll play my favorite, the Terry and Onyx prayer. And we'll be back in about 8 or 9 minutes.
Okay, sounds good.
We're going to be playing Murphy Midnight Rounders, Wreck of the Modern Pagan. Yay, we like them.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty then, we'll be back.
Plastic candles, ninja swords, and simulated crystal orbs in unread print of Raised Big Blue. He'll teach young women what he knows if they take off all their clothes and spiral dance into his bedroom. She won't say marry me because she's a vegetarian. She's afraid it violates the reed. She only reads Fiona Horne and believes she is reborn from an ancient Pictish queen. It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman. Make the rules up as you go along. I want to be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman. Come back in another life if I get it wrong.
Pixelated motherboards and three-pronged grounded power cords is coming in the chat room on Yahoo. His high priest is in NYC, his priestess is in Germany. The court is called from no one has a clue. They read their screens by candlelight, and each one does his own great rite consisting of the alternator keys. F7 scribes a circle round, and F8 takes the circle down. F9 types a hearty blessed be.
It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman. Make the rules up as you go along. I want to be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman. Come back in another life if I get it wrong.
Why do people laugh his way and shake their heads and walk away when he says he's a Virgo through and through? He wants to study Salima and the mystic Kabbalah, but Hebrew words are giving him the blues. He understands the Sephiroth from Kether down to Yetzirah. He even knows what's meant by 661. He won't call his tradition witchcraft. It's more like H.P. Lovecraft. All hail the Necronomicon.
It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman. Make the rules up as you go along. I want to be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman. Come back in another life if I get it wrong.
All he wears is gothic black, and tattooed on his gothic back, the scene of Jesus hanging on the cross. The reference is cursory, and hanging from his rosary, a pentacle he says that someone lost. He only listens to death metal, cause he says it's spiritual. He wants to play guitar like Jimmy Page. Mom's patient with his attitude. Her past is strictly druid. She hopes that he'll come around someday.
It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman. Make the rules up as you go along. I want to be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman. Come back in another life if I get it wrong. He learned his sense of history from RPGs like D&D. He thinks Gary Gygax is a god. His paladin keeps getting trounced by wizard clerics who jump out and turn his +2 arrows into mud. The magic that he learns from books like D&D and Terry Brooks he tried to use in Circle once or twice. Last time he woke up in a funk, in a Mitsubishi trunk, cause demons really don't play nice. It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman. Make the rules up as you go along. I want to be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman. Come back in another life if I get it wrong.
Okay,
W. Borneo. His voodoo priestess grew up in KC. He says his first is Frostian, his second is Arthurian, his third he got while studying Reiki. He reads books by Bonowitz, Grimasi, M.D. Budapest, and volumes signed by Raven Silver Moon. His path may seem a bit deranged, eclecticism is his game. I think he's added Baptist in there too.
It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan Druid shaman. Make the rules up as you go along. I want to be a ceremonial Wiccan Druid shaman. Come back in another life if I get it wrong. The Viking path's the one for him, and it's just not a silly whim. His great, 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 great granddad did it too. His songs use funny sounding words. 1,000 years they ain't been heard, and some of them are written in ancient runes. He looks upon Paganistan as something to be conquered, and his horn is always filled with meat or brew. He laughs at silly pagan folk and thinks he knows more than the Pope. His Mjolnir stuck right up his ass, it's true. It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan Druid shaman. Make the rules up as you go along. I want to be a ceremonial Wiccan Druid shaman. Come back in another life if I get it wrong.
One power in the universe, and we are perfect manifestations of that power.
And as such, we pray. We pray for peace. We pray for love. We pray for stability. We pray for the nation in which we live. We pray for the world.
We will it. We manifest it. We draw it to us. We receive it. We accept it, and we give thanks for it. And by our will, so mote it be.
The Magic Jukebox Podcast presents Caldera Fest Pagan Music Festival, May 26th through May 30th in Lafayette, Georgia. This event will feature the best in pagan music and over 100 vendors and workshops, featuring Tuatha Day, Dave the Bard, S.J. Tucker, Wendy Rule, Digis Christ Super Drum, Dragon Ritual Drummers, and many more. Also featuring the official release of the Green Album. This eclectic compilation of thoughts and sounds will feature various acts performing at Caldera Fest, benefiting the Rainforest Trust. Come on out and have the time of your life. Caldera Fest Pagan Music Festival, May 26th through 30th at Cherokee Farms in Lafayette, Georgia. For more information, visit calderafest.com today. See you there.
You're listening to Spiritual Wellness and Physical Health on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Thanks for sticking around. And now, back to Robin and Lisa.
And we're back. And I guess it's just about time to say goodnight. Niv, did you make it back?
Yep, I made it back in one piece. I thought I did that intro nice and smooth. Now, wasn't that sweet?
Yes, you did. You did a good job. Thank you.
Sure.
Okay, so I guess it's just about time to say goodnight. And this is not goodbye. As I said, the show is just on hiatus. And next week, Hercules Invictus and his wife Athena Victory will be here with their show. And it's I know that it's going to be awesome because I know them and they're just amazing people and it's going to be a lot of fun.
They have super personalities.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to see what they come up with. And I will still be on the air every Tuesday and every Thursday with Terry. And tomorrow night, I believe he will not be on the show with me though, because he's going to be flying back from Dubai. But I believe he will be back on Thursday. And tomorrow night is the ritual. We're talking about
parts.
Right. The teaching class on ritual and how to put ritual together. And tomorrow night we're talking about the elements, if I'm correct.
Quarters and broad spectrum. Because somebody else comes in and tells me something different.
that's right. Calling the quarters and how to do that and why we do it and when we do it and how to connect to each individual element, each individual quarter. And I'll be doing that one on my own. So tune in tomorrow night
for that.
Should be interesting from 9 to 10. And then Terry will be back
with me on
Thursday.
I'll hang out with you on that one. Yeah, Terry will be back for the next interview.
Yep. And who are we interviewing on Thursday, Niv?
We have Sharon Knight, who I'm looking forward to. She's been in the pagan community singing and recording for many, many moons. And we're definitely looking forward to hearing from her. She's aware of the new time. I just need to get her music in there. So I have contacted her as well, so I'm waiting on that. We have continually, with all these Thursday nights right now, this is my big project lately, all the Caldera acts that I can get in. We may have a couple of weeks that they're just too busy because now I've seen that they're already starting tours for all these musicians and bands that we have been interviewing. They're on tour now. I believe they started March 1st. So catching somebody now is going to be like catching goldfish.
it's going to be a little more difficult. But you've done a great job getting most of the artists on, and we've still got some more to go. So we'll see how it goes from here on out.
March is completely solid, and April's halfway there, so we're getting there.
There you go. So that's all about Caldera Fest in what is that, Memorial Day weekend. Yeah, Memorial Day weekend in Georgia. So check that out.
The fam.
So
as
if you'd like to get
down
in touch
south
with
Lafayette.
But if you'd like to get in touch with me or Terry, you can reach us, either one of us, at littlestonebridge@gmail.com. Or you can find me on my Facebook page, that's Spiritual Wellness Physical Health, or my Facebook page, Little Stone Bridge Pathworkings. And that page is really for if you're interested in finding out about any of the services that we offer, Terry and I offer through Little Stone Bridge. We do counseling, we do health coaching. I'm a holistic health coach. We do health coaching and spiritual counseling. We do couples counseling. We give workshops. We do drum circles. We do all sorts of things for private individuals, for groups, for corporate outings. Team building. We do all kinds of interesting stuff. So feel free to contact us for any of that on our webpage, on the Facebook page there, Little Stone Bridge Pathworkings on Facebook. And you can also reach us through the station, particularly this email address is for people who have comments, questions about the shows, good, bad, or indifferent. Feel free to send those to
surn dot org, which is our radio station, at gmail.com.
There you go. Yep. So CERN.org@gmail.com.
Correct.
And let's see what else. Or you can find Terry on his Facebook page, which is Rev Terry Power
HP.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he puts all his titles in there.
I know. It's one of the things.
It's hard for me to say it, too. I look at him and go, you're not my Rev, but it works.
Uh-huh.
That's his title.
Yeah. Yeah. It's because, you know, people would punch in Rev Terry or Terry Power HP, and, you know, this way he covers all the bases if they're trying to search him and find it. I asked him about that once, too. I was
right.
Like, well, where do you have? Yeah.
Yeah, there's more than one Terry Power out there, so make sure
mm-hmm.
you get
That's
that
true.
One.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so I guess we're pretty much done for the evening. It's 10:05, time for bed.
Yeah.
And
yay,
for me anyway.
Bedtime.
Yeah, it's always a good thing. All righty. Niv, you have a great night. Thanks for being with me as always.
Before you take off, I personally want to thank you and Lisa, wherever she is. I know she's listening somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you both for putting the show on here for a little over a year. It has vital information for everybody, not just us pagans, but everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I appreciate it. I mean, there are nights when I wasn't running the board that I would take notes and then send you an email. What's this mean?
Mm-hmm, that's true.
But
that's
seriously.
True.
Wow.
So excited
that
she is focused.
I did that. I just swallowed the tea the wrong way. My turn.
Oh,
mm-hmm. But I do, seriously. You know, people don't realize how much work goes involved into some of these. We look at it, or you and Lisa were able to do it because you know each other so well and you bounce off of each
mm-hmm.
other. But the information that came from the friendship and the experience and the studying is vital.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to tell you thank you.
Oh, thanks.
Because you rock. You rock.
We try.
Now I can really catch her. We'll have to catch her at 5 o'clock on Saturday because I can't catch her any other time any longer.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I definitely want, and be sure and pass that over to Lisa for real, because I really do think that it would not have worked just by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I know it wouldn't have.
Yeah.
It's too
no,
broad
yeah,
of a topic. You know,
yeah.
So there's my thank you, and now we're out of here.
Thanks.
Thank you for being out there for us.
Thanks. Thanks, Niv. Thanks an awful lot for all you do for us. I totally appreciate it. And I will talk to you tomorrow, I'm sure.
All righty, then. Talk to you then.
All right. All right. Everybody out there, spread the love. I'll talk to you tomorrow night. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.